Yeah, Vanessa says, "Do you want me to have to go back to Vermont?" And I, yes.
Bye.
I answered for you.
Siders and all you scandal-loving listeners out there, you just tuned into the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod. The coffee is strong, the waffles are fresh, and the gossip is hotter than ever. My name is Leaf, and I'm your seasoned Gossip Girl veteran.
And I'm Steve. I'm the newbie, the greenhorn, the... I don't know, Leaf, what do you call the new kid on the block in Gossip Girl terms?
Well, at this point, I think you still probably buckle under pressure like Nate, so... You're still, I think they label you as a project. You know, the girl that have a potential to be a Blairite.
Yeah, well then exclude me from all the best parties and let's get started.
All right, sounds good.
So here's the deal, folks. Leaf has been a fan of Gossip Girl since the very beginning, and I'm watching for the very first time. And together we are your dynamic duo, bringing you all of the drama, romance, and sometimes questionable fashion choices of this iconic 2007 series.
That's right. Each week we'll break down all the schemes, secret hookups, and couture catastrophes. And trust me, there are a few of them.
And since we are all about inclusivity here at the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, there is always a room for you at the Non-Judging Breakfast table. So go ahead, grab your mimosa, a cup of coffee, or roll up some of Nate and Chuck's special medicine, and let's get started.
Sounds good. Today we are going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 12, School Lies.
School Lies.
Did you get the reference?
I was assuming it was a reference to School Ties.
Yes.
The 1992 film starring Brendan Fraser, one of my favorite actors ever.
That is correct. So I guess you have seen the movie?
I can't remember if I've seen it. I just remember enough about it. I know Ben Affleck and Matt Damon also.
Yes.
Is that before Goodwill?
Yes. Yeah. And
I always thought.
And it's also one of the reasons why I've never truly warmed to Matt Damon, because he just dropped that N-word way too easily.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've actually seen the movie, but yeah.
So it was actually very apt, because the whole climax of the movie is Matt Damon's character cheats. And so Brendan Fraser is the star of the movie. And, you know, he's like Dan. He is the outsider. He has a scholarship at this prep boarding school.
Do they all get like paddled?
No, I don't think that really happens at any point. At least not. No, that doesn't happen. At least not for disciplinary reason. Maybe for hazing. But not only is he poor, but gasp, he's Jewish.
Oh boy.
But he hides it at first.
Oh. What? Now, is this a period piece, or was it like in 92 he was hiding?
I think it's the 50s.
Okay. That makes a little bit more like,
yeah. He's a great quarterback though. So they bring him in, the coach, like first day when the coach picks him up from the train station, he's like, "Yeah, you might not want to tell the other guys."
Wow.
But then the big climax of the movie is Matt Damon cheats on a test, and they're like throughout the movie they reiterate there's an honor code, and on every test you have to sign the honor code.
Uh-huh.
And like the teacher leaves during the test. Like, so it's really is an honor code.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt Damon cheats because he's got all this pressure, because, you know, he's like a legacy at Harvard and he has to get in, but he's an idiot.
Right.
And so but and Brendan Fraser sees him, and then also his best friend sees him as well.
Yeah,
and but and when he was, and then when Matt Damon's leaving the test, he drops the answer key. Of course, he just like drops it on the floor.
Right, the
teacher
right.
finds it.
Yeah,
so you know it's the same kind of situation where there's like interrogation. If no someone doesn't come forward or information doesn't come forward, everyone's kicked out.
Yeah.
Or everyone fails.
I feel like this is one of those movies that I have never seen in its entirety, but I have seen
parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I may even have seen the whole movie, but never in one sitting front to back, mm-hmm. you know? Because like I feel like I remember certain scenes of it, but I don't think that I ever watched it, yeah. you know?
Yes. So yeah, early Matt Damon, and like I said, possibly the reason why I never really warmed to him as a person.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I always thought that their debut was Good Will Hunting, so I didn't realize that they were in something prior to that, which is also why I know I couldn't have seen it in the theater because I would have known who they were.
Wasn't Dazed and Confused before Good Will Hunting as well?
Yeah, but that was just that, Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that was just Ben.
Yeah, yeah, it was the two of them together.
Okay.
Yeah,
the debut of them together. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, this episode aired on January 2nd, 2008, so we are into the new year. First episode of 2008.
Yeah, I had actually noticed that. Yeah, because the last one was the Christmas episode.
And the Television Without Pity episode description reads, Serena, Blair, Nate, Chuck and their entourage, whatever that means, break into the school swimming pool for a night of fun that leaves somebody nearly dead. The ringleader is threatened with expulsion, so everybody agrees to a secret pact of silence. There is then major tension between Serena, Dan, and Dan's self-important sense of heroism. Will he take the fall and risk returning to Dumbo forever, where he belongs? Vanessa expands her creeping, stalking, and otherwise boundary-ignoring bullshit to include Blair and Chuck talking about their hot affair. Less hot, Lily contemplating telling Rufus how she really feels about him for the 12th week in a row!
Man, did that sum up? I think we're done here. Yeah, I don't think we have anything to do here.
Yeah, they
Television
handle it.
Without Pity, I feel like, really covered all the bases. Yeah.
But the story was by our good friend Len K. Rosenfeld, who last did Daredevil.
Yeah, and we really liked Daredevil, right?
Did we?
That
was the date episode.
Oh. Yeah,
I think you liked it.
I liked it more than
the,
you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit, but yeah.
And then directed by Tony Warmby, who last directed Victor Victrola, which we both liked.
Yeah, yeah, I did like Victor Victrola a lot.
The episode opens with a Gossip Girl monologue. On the Upper East Side, it's easy to think that the world is exactly as it appears. Refined, elegant, imposing. But sometimes all it takes is a little key to open the door to the wild side.
This is where we see the key dink to the floor, too.
Yes.
Yeah, as she's saying that.
Act one begins. There's an after-hours pool party happening at school. The drinks are flowing. The joints are being rolled. And Nate is confused why Blair is acting cold towards him.
Yeah, and so was I. To be like in that opening moment, it was like with her with the good catching up and like walking off was like, whoa, that was, you know.
That expression from Jace Crawford's on his face was priceless.
Yeah, yeah, it was fantastic. The other thing, I really liked the opening shot, the sneaky subterfuge, the shadows on the wall, you know, just establishing that, like, we're doing something we're not supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I thought that was creative, yeah. And I liked it. Maybe not creative, but it served its purpose.
Blair confronts Chuck about why she is being cold to Nate. Chuck is still holding the information of their hookup over Blair's head.
Yeah, it's you know, Chuck can't stand seeing them together, and it's because Chuck really has feelings, but he also doesn't really understand love. Like, he has really misguided ideas of what love is.
Yeah. Yeah. Chuck, done torturing Blair for now, moves on to sleazing on Serena.
Yeah.
Old Chuck is back already.
Yeah. Like, that didn't take long.
Yeah. Incest, the final taboo.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, and he does, yeah. And he doesn't let up, too. No. Like, this whole episode, he is just back to being fucking disgusting.
And is he doing it because he's trying to hook up with Serena, or is he just doing it just to do it?
I feel like it is a matter of he's doing it to get a rise out of her, but if it works, you know? Because, I mean, I feel like Chuck still sees Serena as the girl that you know, who she was before she went away, and I think there's a part of him that believes that.
Which we get more hints of this episode.
Yeah, exactly. And so I feel like there's that part of him that believes that the right opportunity, there'd be a chance.
Yes. In Brooklyn, Vanessa is upping her stalker game by adding a handheld video camera to her arsenal. Serena calls and invites Dan to the party. I guess Vanessa can come too.
Yeah, Vanessa says, "Do you want me to have to go back to Vermont?" And I, yes.
Bye.
I answered for you. yeah. Also, do I hear the newest Lincoln Hawk in the background?
Oh God.
Do I hear
Sad Sack Rufus is here?
Do I hear the sounds of Lincoln Hawk writing?
I think this is more Rufus Unplugged. than Lincoln Hawk.
It is Sad Rufus.
I just imagine tissue just lying around in a dark room.
Yeah, and like crumpled sheet music papers that no one would actually use, but it's a TV show, yeah. So they all use them in TV shows.
LCD sound systems, Someone Great plays as Dan and Vesa enter the party. The drinks are flowing, and one of the extras hits his head and falls into the pool. Ambulances are called, and the party breaks up. Several items are left behind, including a cell phone, but Chuck grabs a mysterious key.
Yeah, the cell phone looked placed. Like, someone, in all the confusion, someone ran up and set a cell phone on a towel and ran.
With the picture showing.
Yeah, with the picture showing.
Of them, like, toasting.
Yeah, yeah. Which, there is that thought, which my one thought was, did Gossip Girl leave the phone? So, like, that entered my thoughts. Hmm. But then it just never seemed addressed again. It never seemed...
Wouldn't Gossip Girl rather post it, though? Instead of giving it to the teachers?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why, it ended up not making as much sense, because they never seemed to address it throughout the episode.
It was just convenient writing, I think.
Yeah, and also, you never in an emergency say, someone call 911. You designate one person, you look them in the eye, you point at them, and you say, you go call 911. First aid 101.
I also want to flag up, we're not actually introduced to the characters in this episode, but we get several lingering shots on Amanda Seton and Drema Walker. They are going to be coming recurring characters. Penelope and Hazel are their names. We don't get their names in this episode.
Yeah.
They are long-time recurring characters.
That's really cool. That's actually a really cool setup. Are they just in that scene?
I think they're in a couple of scenes, but when they're gathered around the guy, like when he's on when they pull him out, they definitely zoom in on those two girls.
Oh, that's really cool.
The one's the blonde and one has like a Mediterranean look.
Okay. I actually love when shows do that. I think it's a neat introduction to give you the sense of this character has always been here. You know, that was always my problem with Smallville. It's like they could solve it in the first frame because it's like, who are we hanging out with?
Yeah, exactly.
Chloe, who have we just started hanging out with? What club did we join this week?
Yes. But so Amanda Seton plays Penelope. She's been like steady working, nothing too notable.
I know the name, Amanda Sutton.
Seton.
Seton?
Yeah.
Oh, then maybe I don't. Maybe I do.
She's been like in a few. She's in. I guess you might have seen her in the Mindy Project or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But I guess for the last 4 years, she's been on General Hospital.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Gemma Walker has also been TV and few movies, but most notably, she was the protagonist on "Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment."
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I enjoyed that.
So she's like not like the star, but the story centers around her character. Like she's the fish out of water.
Yeah, anyway. I know. Yeah, I actually know the exact character you're talking about. Yeah. I enjoyed that show.
So she plays Hazel on Gossip Girl.
Okay, cool.
And so they both are longtime Blair minions. There were like several. Like Penelope goes, I think, through all 6 seasons.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that was that. And then we got the next day, the new headmistress Quellers introduced to students as they discuss the incident. She will be interrogating each of them to determine who initiated the party.
The threat of expulsion. There were, 20 kids in that, at least 20 kids in that room when she threatened expulsion. What's the tuition for each kid? What school is going to expel?
Well, they point out they're not going to expel two-thirds of the senior class? The junior class?
Yeah, like the junior class. Yeah. they can't. Like where would that income get made up?
They
from?
Would just have to shut down for the year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like
let's just fire some teachers.
Yeah. the notion is just ludicrous from the start.
Yeah. But new headmistress gotta crack that whip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Headmistress.
I hated all of it. I hated all of it.
Outside of the school, Blair and Chuck immediately take charge. No one talks, and eventually the school will break. Dan doesn't seem to buy it, though.
Yeah, I love his response.
I don't know, guys. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I did love the, no, it works every time. It's like, sounds like a lot of times. Like, that was really funny. Like,
so you might want to trust the experience.
Yeah, but also, Dan, yeah, shut up.
That would be the end of Act 1. We go into Act 2. Blair is first in the interrogation dungeon. She lies like a seasoned pro. She is so smooth.
Yeah. She and the misdirection, taking it right to her personal problems with Nate and Chuck. And like, you want me to explain it? It's like, no.
Yeah.
We're done here.
So good.
Yeah.
In the courtyard, Chuck mocks Nate for writing a love letter to Blair. Chuck is getting pretty obvious at this point. How is Nate that bad at picking up on social cues? So oblivious.
And you're right, because Chuck is very much just like all but like panting and like growling at him.
Yeah, that scowl on his face. Dan gets a call from Rufus, who urges his son towards honesty.
Yeah, which I mean, like, there's nothing Rufus says that isn't true.
Yeah,
you know, these kids are all going to look out for themselves if it comes down to it, and you need to do the same.
Yeah. And Lily shows up at the gallery to tell Rufus that she is going to accept Bart's proposal. Of course, they argue because these two can't seem to get on the same page, even though we all know they should be together.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, both of you, I at the same time, I can't blame Lily for anything she says, because Rufus did like everything that she points out. Rufus did, mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I'm kind of interested in you. Oh, but now my wife is back. Oh, but now I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Oh, but now I can't talk to you because my wife said so. But I'm going to call you anyway. But now I'm back with her. Like, what is it, Rufus? Like,
yeah,
like I get where she's coming from. like Rufus has to get his shit together.
Yeah. You know? And but at the same time, he didn't plan any of that. And
yeah,
it's just what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but, yeah. She wants answers now.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not dillying around. Dan and Vanessa are riding the elevator up to Blair's penthouse, and Vanessa shows Dan a video of Chuck taking the key from the party.
Yeah. So we knew that Chuck took the key from the party already.
Yeah, we
right?
saw.
Yeah. And now Vanessa and her fucking camera have Chuck picking up the key.
That showing up to someone's house and videotaping them, and like then like trying to run off the footage.
Like, yeah. I mean, just showing up to a secret swim party where you're breaking and entering into a place and you're going to bring a goddamn video camera?
Yeah.
You fucking asshole.
So Dan and Vanessa arrive at the study session, which has turned into another party.
Yeah. They know how to party. Yeah.
And you got a familiar voice in the background music.
Is there?
Yeah. The Filthy Use.
With Ed Westwick
as the lead singer.
Oh, I didn't even recognize that. Was that the song that you played me, or was it a different song?
I forget which one I played you, but the song playing in the background is their song Oranges.
I would like to hear more of them. You know, they were fun.
Yeah.
Like, they had that like kind of like Struts meets like Sex Pistols kind of vibe, yeah. like a gritty old school punk, but had a new kind of vibe to it. Like, I really dug that.
They are not bad. Then Blair pulls Serena aside and tells her to watch out for Vanessa.
Yeah, and the look that when Serena defends Vanessa, fucking the look on Blair's face,
sweetie.
Yeah. It's just perfect. It's just so good.
But Serena's trying. She's trying to be a good girl now. She's trying to be nice to everyone.
Yeah.
I want to see old Serena.
I want to see old Serena beat the shit out of current Vanessa.
Serena tells Dan she's going to find them a quiet place to quote unquote study.
Yeah. Yeah, they're here to write papers, and but yeah, ulterior motives are,
yeah,
are
typical teenage hormones.
Yeah, exactly.
No surprise there.
No.
Dan sees Chuck fingering the key. Why is he just like playing with it?
Yeah, just like chilling with it out in public.
Chuck gives Dan a verbal smackdown. Chuck casually flaunts his privilege to Dan as he laughs him off.
Yeah. Oh, you skipped. You went from the Blair calls him out for casually displaying the key.
No.
And then Nate arrives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Blair rightfully calls him out for casually displaying evidence and confiscates the key. Yeah. So Blair takes the key from him. And then Nate arrives, letter in hand, just as Blair leaves the room. Nate has the look of a lost puppy.
Yeah, because she runs upstairs to hide the key.
Yeah.
And that's when Dan goes up to Chuck.
Yeah.
And he gives him the smackdown, and then Chuck just lays into him. What do you have to show for it? Your dad's ka-single? like
I used MetroCard.
I used MetroCard. Like,
brutal.
Damn.
Yeah. Blair is hiding the key in her room when Nate comes in to deliver the letter. Blair quickly runs off, leaving Nate alone to discover the key.
Yeah.
Oh, Nate.
Yeah. So stupid, dumb.
Honorable
and stupid, and the dumbness is only beginning when you take that key. We'll get to that. We'll get to how dumb Nate is.
But on a sec, you know. Is it dumb, or is he just like actually like playing 4D chess here and trying to, you know, get out of going to Dartmouth?
If I thought Nate was capable of 4D chess,
Sorry.
I don't think that the win-win has ever occurred to him.
Probably not. Dan challenges Serena on the merits of Chuck and Blair's silence and Unity's strategy and senses that she is hiding the truth from him.
Yeah. And, you know, where's the communication, guys? But also, you know, she's hiding a big secret.
Yeah.
And at this point, when I'm watching that, the first time, my first watch through, I'm waiting for her to say, it's me.
Yeah.
You know, that was...
They definitely telegraphed it.
Yeah, they definitely telegraphed it. And I also think that there was a good moment of, okay, I don't... Like almost Dan having a, okay, you're not going to tell me, maybe I shouldn't know, kind of look on his face at the end of it. But
I
didn't really
catch that. I thought he was.
He was pretty upset.
Yeah, I think he wanted to know so he could tell.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants. Yeah, he wants to snitch.
Yeah. Chuck and Blair get into it. Chuck once again threatens to tell Nate about the limo sex. However, Blair momentarily turns the tables by daring Chuck to tell Nate because she will just deny it. But Chuck glances over and, Vanessa just got your confession on tape.
Fucking Vanessa. Like, my notes here are, Vanessa, damn it. Vanessa, you fucking creeper.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, and it's on back-to-back things. Because the previous scene, when Dan and Serena were fighting, he had to be like, Vanessa, not now.
Yeah.
And then she ends up fucking, who? Just videotapes a private conversation. Like, that's so unethical.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my documentary just took a new turn. Did it? What film school is going to be like, you're filming people illegally? Yeah, come here.
And then, so, yeah, Vanessa tries to hightail it with the illicit footage when Blair grabs her. However, heavyweight Humphrey steps in, always ready to throw punches where Chucky Boy is concerned.
His line there was great, though. Last I checked, I still owe you a black eye, so unless this is you coming to reclaim it, you best walk away.
Like that, very good. Yeah.
Yeah, Dan is great with words. Like, Dan typically has that, like, you know, great wit.
Yeah.
And yeah, but Dan, you don't know what you're defending this time.
Like, yeah.
Dan, you're actually wrong. She's wrong this time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he shouldn't be just grabbing Vanessa, but still, Vanessa's wrong as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's... I can't say that Dan is wrong, but he's... But Vanessa did do something wrong.
She should be turning over that tape.
Yeah.
And that is the end of Act 2. We go into Act 3. This time, it's Rufus's turn for the unannounced pop-in. He shows up at the Palace Hotel to ask Lily why she showed up in the gallery. Rufus declares his love, finally, but is that enough for Lily, who seems dead set on locking down a husband number four, right now?
Rufus, buddy, you're projecting a bit in this scene. There's a lot of, like... You know, oh, you definitely feel all of these things, but it's like you're narrating her feelings, buddy.
He is, but I mean, he's right at the same time.
There are parts he's right about.
Yeah.
There are parts he's right about. There are also parts that it seemed to me that it was like, it was just like, buddy, like, speak for you, not for her.
I guess I didn't really get that. I think
I mean, I think that ultimately they should be together, but, like, you know.
Yeah, I guess. Nate, thinking to protect Blair, confesses to the headmistress, Queller, that he is the one who broke into the school. Nate, however, isn't nearly the liar Blair is, as Queller sees right through him, despite Nate having the key as evidence.
First question. Like Nate, poor, dumb Nate gets stumped on the first question. Yeah. No backstory. I stole the key. Here, key. I stole key. Here, key. Mm. Take key.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, where's the keychain? The what? Where'd you get the key? Huh? Like, you didn't think of, like, oh, I stole it from a janitor. Like,
yeah.
Also, why do their keys look like that? Why does the key to the pool look like it opens an, a 14th century castle?
I could totally buy that for that type of school.
I get.
Vanessa, still filling people without their permission outside of school, is approached by Blair, who tries and fails to threaten the tape out of Vanessa.
Yeah. I give it to V here, where she's not intimidated, because Blair is used to dealing with people where throw around the money, throw around the power, and she gets what she wants. But, like, she doesn't really have anything.
Well, no, it's just, like, it's not even throwing around the money. It's because they all have money. The thing is that she has bullying, and she could theoretically ostracize.
Yeah.
She can bully and ostracize the normal people she's dealing with.
Right.
Vanessa is already ostracized.
Yeah. You have nothing on her like that. Was really my point.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that, like, she has power in her circles, but she has no power outside of it.
But
that power
But as Chuck points out in the very next scene, money would have definitely worked, because next up, Chuck, who just offers up a literal wad of cash for the tape. Chuck is clearly more perceptive in this case, which she is happy to point out, because it works, and Vanessa hands over the tape. Or does she?
Yeah, I mean, there is, when she hands it over, immediately I was like, that's not the tape. Like that can't be the,
that was the one she was just recording on.
Right. Exactly. Like she had to have switched that out. Like, she had to have switched that out. But, like, if she didn't, wow. You know, but, like, I couldn't believe that they would do that to Vanessa, but I kind of almost believe they could.
Yes. Lily and Bart's lunch is interrupted by a phone call. Lily looks bored out of her mind as everything goes quiet and slows down in her perception. She calls Rufus, decides that she is finally ready to take a chance with her heart.
Bart's business talk here. Buy, sell.
She's just so bored.
That whole scene was so ridiculous. Meanwhile, I'm going to call the dude that I'm going to leave that dude for. Like, he is so engrossed in his work that I can make a phone call at the table right now to tell a dude I'm going to meet him tonight.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And just, like, the jargon, as soon as you, it's at the highest point and sell it at the lowest dollar. And it's, shut up. I want to see the script. I want to see the actual screenplay to see if it has written what he should say, or if it said business jargon, because it just felt like improvised business jargon.
Yeah. Back at school, all the culprits are gathered before the headmistress. Nate is suspended and asked to leave because of his false confession. This will go down on his permanent record.
I hope you know. Oh, yeah? Well, don't get so upset.
Yes, Nate's plan backfires, obviously. And we're down one. What, first guy down.
Yep.
First guy up, first guy down.
No chance.
Yeah. Dan once again extols to Serena the wisdom of turning in the culprit. However, Serena reveals that it is she who had the key.
Bum, bum, bum.
So, yeah, no surprise. But, yeah, Serena had the key, you know, because she was hooking up with some swim team captain, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah. And still had the key. Yeah, she had the key to go bang in the swim locker room.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to swim in that pool.
Yeah.
How many people are going there to hook up?
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of sex in that pool.
Yeah. Back from the mid-act commercial break, Dan still urges her to confess, but Serena is hesitant due to her checkered past. Dan is in a real moral quandary here. And what do you know? He's next in Headmistress Queller's interrogation dungeon.
There's no other school that would take me. Public school would take you, Serena.
Yeah.
You could go to public school.
You could. There's some pretty decent public schools in Manhattan.
Yeah, especially in New York's Upper East Side. Yeah. Like, you could probably go, and you could probably also rent an apartment in any zip code in New York and go to that school.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. But.
Yeah. Blair goes to Nate in the courtyard to console him. Nate reveals his false confession was to protect Blair. Even though his efforts were needless, Blair appears moved by the gesture. However, Blair quickly rebuffs him when Nate moves in for some smoochy smoochies. Nate, too bad, buddy. You missed your shot. It's Chuck and Blair time now, baby.
It's the most romantic thing anyone has ever done for me. You mean Nate? Has anyone other than Nate done anything romantic for you? Ever?
No.
I mean, one...
Chuck bought her the necklace.
Yeah, true. Chuck did buy her the necklace. But, like, you know, you've had... Yeah. Anything anyone has ever done for you. You were 11 when you started dating this guy.
I mean, it's a pretty big sacrifice. I mean, it was pretty big.
It was. She has a limited number of people who have done romantic things for her.
Yeah. Serena arrives at the palace and discusses her situation at school with Lily. Serena begs Lily not to be with Rufus for the sake of her relationship with Dan.
I really liked Blake's acting.
Yeah, this is a really good scene.
Yeah. I feel like her reactions and her... her dialogue and her emotional output in this, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that Lily is a good actor, and the two of them just really played off each other
They work well together. And this was definitely probably the best scene in the episode.
And to say I'd rather be Chuck's stepsister than Dan's. Oof. Oof.
Yeah. I don't know who I side with on this one.
It's tough because, like, you know, she does have good reasons, but it's also she's a kid, you know, and like this is the person that, like, that you had this huge romantic past with. And so, like you said, like, I can't really side with either one of them in this.
And going a little forward in the episode, I think we're getting now. The whole communication problems Dan and Serena have been having, I think, has been a red herring. Their real issue is the one that started from day one. That just Dan can't accept her world.
Yeah.
Her privilege. He just can't deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to lead to their doubt. I just can't see them lasting just because of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
just like Cece said.
Yeah.
You know? And I honestly feel like some of it is that Cece planted that in his head and never got out of it.
Yeah, he can't help but feel inadequate.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's nothing that Serena's doing.
No, she's living her life. Yeah. It's just that they, you know, and it's really, it's on him to be able to be a big enough person to be able to say, I don't have your resources. You know,
which makes this scene all the more tragic, because Lily's finally being kind of like sacrificing something for her child.
Yeah.
And it's not really worth the squeeze.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was my thought, is that, like.
Yeah. Vanessa shows up at the penthouse and gives Blair the tape out of the goodness of her heart.
Yeah, I mean, because Vanessa is going to, it's like they want us to like Vanessa, but, like, she's awful. Like, it's like the writer's like, oh, but this is going to make them like her. Like, no, like, she did the right thing.
And I did enjoy them bonding, and, like, I saw potential there for a friendship.
Yeah. but like, don't try to make me like her. You know, like because I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
And she also comes through, but she's smug as fuck when she does. Like, she's super smug about the whole thing. And she has an attitude of, like, I don't need, you know, you have all this, you know, wealth, but I, like, I'm a better person because I don't attitude.
Yeah.
That I just.
Yeah.
That's off-putting.
Very judgy.
Yeah.
Dan is being grilled by the headmistress, Queller, when Serena comes in ready to confess. Serena pleads her case, but we are left waiting to find out her fate.
Yeah.
As we hear about Serena talking back to teachers and, you know, skipping class, where's this Serena?
Sounds
entertaining.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, it also then goes back to Lily and Lily making that sacrifice. She was the one that got Dan and Serena back together,
mm-hmm.
because she does see the benefits this relationship has had on Serena.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're really seeing, like, wow, she really is a much better kid, and she is hanging out with Dan. So, like, yeah. It makes sense for Lily to want that for her kid.
True. Blair shows up at the cafe to tell Vanessa she isn't indebted to anyone, so she paid Vanessa's rent for a year. Nice little friendly bonding over Vanessa pranking Chuck with the money she tricked out of Chuck.
365 more days in your IKEA-filled closet.
Blair with those bon mots.
Yeah, I love, because Blair is going to, you know, Vanessa, go ahead and judge me for being rich. I will judge you right back for being poor.
Donated the money to
started a foundation for teens with genital herpes.
In Chuck's name. Very clever.
Yeah.
Serena and Dan are reacting to the news that Serena is getting off with a slap on her wrist. Dan silently judges her privilege, which turns into a disagreement about whether Serena gets special treatment or not. Serena, is this really the love you see being forever? The relationship clearly has fundamental issues based on who they both are as people.
Yeah.
Not because of actions, just who they are as people.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, Serena's not doing anything wrong here. She's just, you know, being who she always is. But being who she always is comes with a certain amount of privilege that Dan will never have.
Yeah.
You know, and what's funny is that, like, if these two were to wind up together and get married and move on, and he could accept that role, then maybe he could. But I feel like this Dan that we see now would eventually grow up to be the captain if they ended up in that type of relationship, you know? Yeah. I could see him then always trying to be good enough to be with Serena.
Yeah.
Who would just wants you to be who you are, you know, which you see that in the captain and Anne.
As Bart is announcing the engagement to the family, we flash back to Lily telling Rufus that she is turning him down. Damn, Lily, I understand you giving up on Rufus for the sake of your daughter, but why does that mean you have to marry someone you aren't in love with? Yeah. Are you really that lonely? Maybe try spending some time with your son who just attempted suicide a few months ago. Why are you still running off on trips with any guys for that matter? I was about to praise Lily for making a sacrifice for her daughter's sake, but what about my boy Eric?
Yeah, honestly, what about Eric? And I, you know, it's funny because I didn't even think of that until you brought that up, until I was reading that, of like, why are you going on all these trips? Like, your kid is just home from the hospital and you're like gallivanting around.
And which he has told you that is part of the reason why he tried to get suicide.
Yeah.
Because he always felt alone.
Yeah.
And that is the end of Act 3. We go to the epilogue. The Bess and Vander Woodson families are bonding over drinks with a side of sexual harassment from Chuck.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, right in front of Eric, too. That whole scene when he's like full on just being disgusting, and Eric was just standing there.
Yeah, I don't know if he had any actual lines in this episode. He was just kind of there.
Yeah, he was there like a lot. During that scene, I think. Yeah. It was really, yeah. But I don't think he did have any lines.
Blair and Nate are in her room, and Blair utters the iconic, "I love you too. Always have, always will."
You know when you say it like that, though.
So, yeah.
You say it with a certain cadence like that.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of other characters on the show.
Yes. So, yeah, we get that scene. You know, they're cute, but, yeah, don't think it'll last.
Yeah.
Bart reveals to Serena that he got Serena the reduced charges by going above Queller's head and donating a new library to the school.
Yeah. The Vander Woodson Bass Library.
I think we'll have our hands full with you two.
Yeah. And one of the funny things here is that, like, it is the most parenting anyone has ever given Serena. And yet, it's horrible parenting.
I was just looking. And then Chuck, of course, I'm just looking out for you, sis.
Yeah. Well, and Bart's also like, you know, with your record and your past and all those things, it wasn't easy to do this time. It took a library. It's like. And also, though, Serena, this is your choice. You would rather this than her be with Rufus. Yeah. This was your choice.
Yep. This was your choice. And then, but Serena, she immediately goes to the loft to see Dan. Bumps into Rufus, clearly heartbroken over losing Lily again. Serena may even be feeling a little guilty and or bad for Rufus.
Yeah, I definitely felt like there was a little bit of a...
She's like, oh, shit.
Might be, brah.
But yeah, Serena goes and tells Dan that he was right about her privilege. We end the episode with a cute Serena moment, but in my mind, they are clearly a classic high school couple. Is 90% based on lust and won't last the test of time.
Yeah, I mean, this gap is getting wider with them. You know, this privilege gap is really going, you know, it's going to keep getting becoming a bigger wedge.
Yeah, you can definitely see that. So, besides for that, any predictions for next week?
For one, I'm predicting that we're gonna move towards something. I'm really curious as to where we're going with the Lily Bart thing and what's gonna be happening with Rufus now. My biggest prediction is that I'm hoping that he's gonna work on that song a little more, and we're gonna get a little Linkin Hawk coming up before too long.
We shall see. That is the episode. Let's get into some segments. This week in fandom, as usual, I went back to the 2008 reactions from on the Television Without Pity forums. This week we had Vanessa, number one stalker. Why does she keep showing up in places she isn't really invited?
Yeah, she keeps showing up to places that she isn't really invited, now this time with a camera. Hmm.
Dan and Vanessa are smug Prius drivers and belong together.
Ouch. They are both really smug, and they would both drive a Prius.
Yes.
Nair
is actually gaining a little traction. They like the sacrifice from Nate.
Yeah.
There was not as much chair love this week.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that the Nate thing is, you know.
Yeah.
I think she really wants to be into him and just isn't.
Yeah.
Or at least won't be for long.
And then they are also disappointed that Lily dumped Rufus and is getting married at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I almost would even be like, go ahead and, you know, break up with Rufus. Fine. But like, you don't have to then marry someone else.
Yeah.
You're like.
So let's go ahead and get into some episode grades. You went first last time, so I will go first this time. I actually, I gave this episode an A. I thought there was that great scene with Lily and Serena. Great acting from Blake and Kelly. Overall, a lot of tension. I liked that all the characters were involved in the same plot. Those are always, to me, the best episodes of Gossip Girl when they involve everyone. The only thing missing was there was no Jenny.
There was no Jenny. Yeah, because I actually gave this one a B. I felt like there were quite a few poor writing choices in this. Some of the you know, like the Bart dialogue thing. There are just a few other like moments where I felt like the writing choices were a little tropey, or just were a little like, I don't know, didn't really move the characters the way that the show often does. So yeah, I actually felt like this was, and no Jenny also was a huge hit because like, yeah, I felt like I missed Jenny more than I would miss Nate on the episodes Nate wasn't in.
No, I would, but the fact that it was one big plot specifically revolving around the junior class, I didn't really mind it as much as I normally would.
But, yeah, I get that.
Moving on to Stockwatch. Going up, I had Dan and Serena. They did, you know, they are still going strong at this moment. Even though I'm seeing cracks, they are still oblivious to it, it seems like. And I honestly gave Vanessa a stock up because even though she was a psycho stalker, she kind of won the episode. She got her rent paid. She, you know, got a prank on Chuck, and she had a little friendship, you know, kind of frenemy bonding moment with Blair.
Yeah.
So I had to give her stock up.
I did too. I actually have Vanessa as my first stock up.
Okay.
For the exact same reasons. As much as I wanted to shove that camera down her throat throughout the entire thing,
it paid off for her.
It paid off for her, and like ultimately she came out on top in this episode. I also had Blair and Nate going up, you know, because they did have that nice moment in the end. They did she did give the I love you. So I saw the two of them as both going up. And then Bart Bass, Bart's stock went up. He now has his name on a library and he's marrying Lily. So yeah. Like, you know, good for him.
All right, going down, I had Rufus, obviously sad sack Rufus. Mm-hmm. I had Lily going down because she's now marrying someone she clearly doesn't love.
Yep.
Chuck for being a sleazeball and losing out on Blair, apparently.
Yep.
And I had Nate going down because, like, he just kind of...
He did puppy dog all episode.
He just was so bad in the interrogation.
So dumb.
So dumb.
No backstory. No backstory.
I have this key, though.
Didn't anticipate a goddamn question.
All right, so who do you have going down?
So I had Chuck going down for going back to old Chuck ways, mm-hmm. and just being a sleazeball. I had Rufus going down, and I should also have included Lily as going down because they both made, you know, Rufus lost out on Lily. Lily made a bad choice to get married. I had Eric going down because he's in a shitty situation now. Like not no fault of his own, but like he got no lines in the episode and he got fucking stuck with Chuck as a stepbrother.
I mean, Chuck is a good bro.
Actually, you know what? He probably would take better care of Eric.
Eric just needs friends.
Yeah.
So I could see them then potentially, you know, bonding.
Yeah.
It might not be horrible for him. And he doesn't know about the whole, you know, pilot thing with Serena or
yeah, that's true. Yeah. The other person I had going down though was the headmistress. That was the other writing stuff. Like, I hated everything about the new headmistress plot line. It just, I hated it.
She is here to stay.
Yeah, I figured, which also irked me.
All right. For best outfit, I had Chuck's purple suit at the end there.
It was really cool. There were a lot of good outfits in this. I think Serena had a lot of really good stuff as well. And I'm actually going to go with Serena's bathing suit in the opening scene. It would, you know, just a really cool one piece suit that was really, like, you know, fashionable and tailored well without, you know, I thought it was really awesome. Robin also was, that was Robin's big thing too, was like, she loved the bathing suit. Just shout out though to the coat game in this too. That a lot of people, Lily had an awesome coat. Yeah. Serena had an awesome coat over that like dress. I feel like Bart had an awesome coat at one point.
All right. Anything to plug?
I believe at this point I have two shows coming up. One may have just passed. but I will be at Fat Lady Brewing on May 10th and again for Love Fest on July 19th. So I'll be playing ukulele and playing some music and come out and enjoy that. Okay. Yeah.
So I was on an episode of the Smashing Game Time podcast, the episode that came out on Monday, March 11th, where we talk about Final Fantasy Rebirth, and then they also interview me about the Last of Us Factions community.
Oh, cool.
So that was a fun time, so go check that out. That's out already at this time. And then also, I recently, last night, I watched the first episode of the new Kids in the Hall.
Oh, the one that they released?
Which, like, I heard they were doing it, and then, like, apparently it came out, but they had, like, zero marketing behind it, because I found out just through a random conversation on Thursday online I was having. And it is out. I watched the first, like, episode and a half. Theme song still slaps.
Yeah, it came out in 2020, right? I think it came out during the pandemic.
Did it?
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because that opening scene where Brain Candy breaks Ethan. It was so, like, somebody bought the VHS in a yard sale and finally Brain Candy broke even.
Yes.
Oh my god, I love the Kids in the Hall.
And I'm not sure if age has made their cross-dressing more passing or less. I haven't decided.
It really kind of depends on the character they're playing. I've found.
But yeah, I'm having fun with that.
Yeah. And they hit everything. Like, yeah, they hit every character, and I absolutely loved it. Yeah.
And so you can follow us on socials, Instagram and TikTok, @NonJudgingBreakfastPod, and on the social media formerly known as Twitter, @NJBPod. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search for Non-Judging Breakfast Pod and take a seat at the Non-Judging Breakfast table with us.
Yeah, and if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send us an email at nonjudgingbreakfastpod@gmail.com. We would love to read your emails on air and answer any questions that you might have. And, also, please, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple or iHeart or Amazon, wherever you're listening to this, if you could give us a like and a follow and a review, it really helps for our visibility and gets other people to listen and enjoy our podcast.
Yeah. So we will be back in 2 weeks to talk about the next episode, which is season 1, episode 13, A Thin Line Between Chuck and Nate. The Max episode preview reads, Gossip Girl reports that Serena Vanderwoodson has been spotted buying a pregnancy test.
Boom, boom, boom. Uh-oh.
Yeah. And, well, we'll find out what happens. Until next time, you know you love us. XOXO.
Take care.